Now the main feature, Mr. Hannum to tell his story. Mr. Hannum.
Oh, friends, with your permission, I will reminisce the early history of the area west of the Kiskatnaw River, later to be named Sunset Prairie, where they never did find the prairie, and Progress, where they have been struggling for years to establish the meaning of the name. To begin with, two families settled in the area about 1916. The Murphys in Township 79, Sunset Prairie, and Rosenaws in Township 78, Progress. With them were two bachelors, Walter Grote, a trapper, with the Murphys, and Bob Kerr, a brother of Mrs. Rosenaw, who later worked with the government survey of the Peace River Block. By the way, Bob Kerr, at 88, is still on his homestead, living with himself and his cooking. What endurance! After World War I, units of the Canadian Armed Forces were part of the Army of Occupation in Germany during the winter 1918-19. At the sprout of spring, we found ourselves back in Canada being demobilized. The Canadian government were afraid the veterans, having the habit, would unite and occupy Canada, so they, the government, as much as possible, dispersed the vets to the four corners of the Dominion. I joined a group in Calgary organizing to settle in the aforementioned area of the Peace River Country. The government, bursting with generosity, granted us a loan with a $2,000 limit to push us on our way. We outfitted in Calgary, bought horses, machinery, etc., and then trained for Grand Prairie, the end of steel. We stayed in Grand Prairie 2 weeks, breaking horses, setting up wagons, etc., readying for the trek to the promised land. However, we were not so fortunate as the Israelites to be blessed with a Moses who would part the raging waters in the Kiskatnaw River, where we drowned 3 horses making the crossing. The crossing completed, we continued west, doubling up when stuck in mud holes. At the Bill Rosenaw homestead, we got a warm welcome from the family and given useful tips on what we were about to receive from the raw frontier of this beautiful Peace River country. Having arrived at our different locations, we came face to face with reality. That meant work and more work, and doing our thinking while we worked. One fellow, a bit fed up, remarked, "Anyone that would go homesteading hadn't much to think with anyway," naturally adding to the difficulty. However, we tackled the job successfully and developed a community spirit of good fellowship that has lasted through the years since and has made the area a good place to live. George Mounsey is the only one left of the original gang living in Sunset Prairie. George and his family have been a strong, sustaining influence for the good of the community ever since grubbing out the first tree for his cabin clearing. In such settlements as ours, the first thing to do after squaring things up around the home is to build a community hall, the center for public activity. We punctuated our dances with entertainment items from the various talents among our bunch. I was a bit of an elocutionist, so I will here venture a sample, a poem written in Britain before the turn of the century, named Kissin' Cup Race by Campbell Ray Brown. You've never seen Kissin' Cup, have you? Stroll onto the paddock, my lord. Just cast your eye over the mesa. You would say that upon your word, you've never seen a finer shape than in all the whole course of your life. Have you heard the strange story about her? How she won Lord Eloxen's wife? No? Well, if you've got a few minutes, I'll tell you why Kissing Cup here has lived in this lazy grandeur since the first time they let her appear on the race course to run for her wife, sir, the loveliest girl in the land. By gee, it was a heart-thrilling moment to those that stood on the stand and knew the high stakes that were pending on Kissing Cup winning the race. She ran for a woman's heart, sir, to save an old name from disgrace. There she is, sir. Now look how well over there isn't a fault to be found. See her going. Oh, magnificent action. You're right, sir. The mare is as sound as she was on the day I rode her, just 10 years ago last June. I shall never forget how they cheered us, the mare and her jock Bob Doone. He was always a reckless youngster, my master, Eloxen, you know. And when the old Marquis died, sir, he seemed somehow to go right fair clean away to the devil. And being a freshen, you see, the bookies just fleeced him a good un. I knew, sir, quite well how it would be. I saw he would go down a mucker, be ruined, sir. Sure as fate, in his careless boyish folly, I saw that the fine old estate would be gambled away, the title be sullied. Perchance with shame, I said to myself, Bob Doone boy, you must save your old master's name. He loved quite a bit of racing. I'd been his head jock for years. I remember the night he died, sir, his bright eyes filling with tears. He told me to mind the youngster and see that he didn't begin to gamble, and always to remember the Eloxen's road to win. He told me above all to see so that no scandal e'er touched the stud. To be sure, our stables harbored not but the best of blood. He took my rough hand as he finished in the same old well-known grip that hundreds of times I'd seen him a-grasping the ribbons and whip. He didn't last very much longer. I stood by the bed as he died and saw the old master's spirit start on its last long ride. One night, I remembered well, sir, must have been just nigh 4 years after the old Marquis left us. Very heavy at heart with fears, I was sitting in one of the stables, not dreaming as no one was near, a-thinking of how things were looking. A mighty sight too juice queer. I turned round my head for a moment to see if the nags were all right, when I saw my young master standing behind me. I started. The sight of his face, pale and haggard, sent a rush of cold blood to my heart. I knew to that something had happened. Doone, me boy, where do you start? Don't you know me? He said, have I altered? Have I changed so since yesterday? Oh, wonder, good God, I'm ruined. I've gambled the old home away. But the worst, the poor girl, Lady Constance. You know how she loves me, old friend. What will she think of me now, Bob? For pity's sake, heaven defend and keep her, he cried. True as ever, but no, I never can wed you now. God bless you, my darling. Forget me as if I were dead. He wept like a child in his sorrow. Be a man, sir, said I. Trust to me, I can yet pull you through, sir. There's a mare in your stud that can fly. I have kept her. I knew you were playing too fast, far too reckless a game. But there's Kissing Cup ready to run for and save the Eloxen's name. When I saw that the lad was collected, I asked him to turn and look at the very first bet he had entered in the first page of his book. He looked at me, eyes full of wonder. 3 years, what do you mean? You forgive me, my lord, I answered. Forgive me, I know you have been too hot, too heedless, my father, in your youthful and reckless career. You've forgotten. Just read for a moment the words that you see written here. I showed in the entry 500 to 1, clearly betted in pounds, against the Polaris Sweet Violet, my love in Cabana Corrals. The mare Kissing Cup here is ready and fit, sir, to run for life. In the big race next week, she will save you. will win you a fortune and a wife. That I couldn't speak for a moment. His pallid lips moved in a groan. Then he rabbit and grasped in my hand, sir, held it just like a vice in his own. The day of the race was a grand one, but few knew the issue at stake. We tried hard to keep it a secret for the splendid old Marquis's sake. As we cantered away past the stanza to give the big swells all a view, hardly one of them dreamt what would mean, sir, if the Hoxton's chocolate and blue were beaten. None guessed that the girl there, with her beautiful face, worn and thin, was murmuring a low prayer to heaven that her young lover's colours might win. Already a beautiful starter. The line was as straight as could be. The off the shout rang for a moment around us, and then seemed to near dying away in the distance as we scudded along the course at a pace that was far too killing. So I kept my horse well back in the rear to the corner. Then I let the reins loose on her mane. She passed through them all but once, Lord Ronaldon's coach who came. Then I saw there would be a struggle. I'd known it for months long back. All the land you need be afraid of was the old baron's fast flying crack. "'Twas a terrible moment for me, sir. "'The colt was 3 good lengths ahead. "'I whispered a word to the mare, sir. "'Twas enough. "'She knew what I said. "'Sweeping on down the hill like a rocket, "'she got on the girths of the colt. "'My heart gave a great roar of pleasure. "'I made sure he shot his bolt, but no. "'His jaw hustled him up, sir. "'His whip twitched, fell like rain. "'The cry ran like fire at the course, sir. "'Thousands on sugarcane, "'standing to reach sugarcane lean. 2 seconds and all would be all, or Ronaldon wins. No, not yet though, we're next to the neck. 2 strides more. I saw in that great sea of faces a girl's pale, wet as the dead. I cried, for God's sake, kiss and come now. 'Twas over. We won by a head. Now it's ready. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, and make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good or talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those 2 impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, and see the things you gave your life to broken, then stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart, your nerve and sinew to serve their turn long after they are gone and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
Mr. Hannum is 93 years of age, and I think that his recitation answers some of the questions about how people found their amusement and how people made their amusement in the early days among the pioneers in the Peace River area. This comment is made by Dorothea Calverley. The tape of this program will be deposited in the School Resources Center, School District Number 59, South Peace River, for pleasure of those that come after.